Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. You will find an order of service on our website and you're invited to join in the singing and the responses in bold type. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and our reader this morning is David Dow. Our prayers of intercession are led by Zelda Dow. You will hear the choir of St Andrew's and St George's West Church, and our vocal ensemble this morning comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Our pianist is Eleanor Cousins, and the service is edited by Andrew Carville. As you know, at the minute our services are not conducted from our church building. I record what I say from my living room. I sit in the same chair each week. It seems that even in social isolation, we still have our favourite pews. So wherever your feet are planted this morning, I invite you to join in our responsive call to worship. Church buildings, sacred spaces, gather us together. Together, in isolation, we gather as one, though physically apart. God be with us in our houses and homes, just as God is with us in our churches and cathedrals. Come, let us worship as God's scattered community. As the farmer scatters the seed, may the fruits of the Spirit be plentiful among us, wherever we may be. And we worship God in the singing of our first hymn, O God, you search me and you know me.
Oh,
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, you are the source of all that is, the life in every living thing. We come to you today to open ourselves up to your transforming love and grace. We open our eyes and look at the ripening harvest of our lives. What shoots of new growth can we see? What is there in us that is stronger and healthier than it was before? We give thanks to you for every growth in grace, every kindness shown, every struggle overcome. As we look deeper, are there weeds of tiredness or frustration, thorns of envy or of fear that threaten to choke the life of the kingdom growing in us? We acknowledge before you the dangers that we face. We confess the temptations that have drawn us. Forgive us, we pray. Help us not to feed these weeds with our time or water them with our attention, but to trust you to deal with them when the time is right. We thank you for every glimpse of your love we see breaking into our world, for every seed of life that you have planted. We thank you for the experiences and people who have influenced and shaped our lives for the good. People who by their presence helped us to feel closer to you and to each other. As we grieve the passing of members of our community in recent weeks and months, we know that the gifts and graces they offered us are not lost to us. Rather, they now lie planted within our own lives. Lord of all life, may the seeds of your kingdom continue to grow in us and be allowed to flourish, that we may share with all your faithful people in the joy of the harvest feast. And hear us now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We come now to our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 13 is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. In it, Jesus begins talking about the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom has always been a slippery concept to grasp. That is why we are given not just one, but multiple parables, each revealing a different facet of God's ways. Ways that cannot ultimately be contained or defined. Of the eight parables in this chapter, six begin with the phrase, The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The preceding parable of the sower had an extravagantly generous God giving the good news even to the hardened, the shallow, and the bristly. This parable now talks about the other reality. It is not just the soils that vary. There are also different kinds of seeds.
The reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from chapter 13, verse 24. Here is a parable that he put before them. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed his field with good seed, but while ever asleep his enemy came, sowed darnel among the wheat, and made off. When the corn sprouted and began to fill out, the darnel could be seen among it. The farmer's men went to their master and said, Sir, not good seed that you sowed in your field? Then where has the darnel come from? This is an enemy's doing, he replied. Well then, they said, shall we go and gather the darnel? No, he answered. In gathering it, you might pull up the wheat at the same time. Let them both grow together till harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the darnel first, and tie it in bundles for burning. Then collect the wheat into my barn. Continuing from verse 36. He then dismissed the people and went into the house, where his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the darnel in the field. And this was his answer. The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the children of the kingdom, the darnel for the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed the darnel is the devil. The harvest is the end of time. The reapers are angels. As the darnel then is gathered up and burnt, so at the end of time, the Son of Man will send out his angels, who will gather out of his kingdom whatever makes men stumble, and all whose deeds are evil, and these will be thrown into the blazing furnace, the place of wailing and grinding of teeth. And then the righteous will shine as brightly as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. If you have ears, then hear. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. These past months, those of us able to access green spaces outdoors have been fortunate. Last week in Northern Ireland, I spent time in a garden that has not been tended for about 6 months. The warm weather and the rain have produced rapid growth in weeds as well as fruit plants. Yes, the plants were laden with raspberries, black currants and red currants, but to get to them, I had to negotiate through catchweed, or sticky grass as it is also known, and it lives up to its name. The fruit plants were surrounded by brambles and nettles. The berries were delicious, but I do wish there had not been a sting in the tail. So coming to this week's parable from the Gospel according to Matthew, well, I didn't know quite what to think. Yes, the sower planted with good seeds. Yes, there are now weeds strewn among the wheat that puts the ideal harvest the sower had imagined at risk. Ideally, the servants would just rip out the weeds, but the sower knows that to tear out the weeds now risks ruining the maturing wheat as well. I don't know that I'm a big fan of leaving the weeds to grow alongside the wheat. At first glance, the whole parable seems not very much like a parable. The scholars advise us not to take parables too literally. We shouldn't treat a parable like an equation where A equals X and B equals Y. Yet here, Jesus himself seems to do exactly that. His explanation is almost the exact piece-by-piece analogy that scholars insist is the wrong way to read parables. So if this parable were the subject of a gardener's question time, it would take up way more than one episode. Yes, the over-the-top language is great for grabbing our attention and taking this seriously. And I could seriously try to persuade myself that Jesus is talking about someone else, not me, and all those weeds. But I'd be fooling myself. If you think you can count yourself amongst the wheat, it's a great passage for beating up on those you consider to be amongst the weeds. But I'm not sure what the good news of that is. Perhaps there were some overzealous weeders in Matthew's congregation who wanted to purify the community by rooting out the bad seed. Jesus does not advise that we try and make the situation pure and perfect and ideal. He rightly points out that our trying to make things perfect will only make things worse. So rather than feeding our tendency to judge others, this parable reminds us not to play God and decide for ourselves who's worthy and who's not. Thankfully, we can leave the weeding to the angels and get on with the mission Jesus has given us, that of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. One way to avoid turning this parable into yet another excuse to divide the world into goodies and baddies, or us and them, is to think of yourself as the field. At the end, what is pleasing to God is taken into God's care and keeping. At the harvest, the weeds in you are removed and the wheat in you is gathered in. The wheat and weeds grow side by side, even within us, so that to root out the one would be to destroy the other. For when it comes to human nature, none of us is ever completely saint or sinner. We're all a mixed bag of mixed motives. Or as the educator to the young at heart, Mr. Rogers, used to say, even a person who is bad most of the time will be good some of the time. And a person who is good most of the time will be bad some of the time. The Apostle Paul put it another way. For I don't know what I am doing. For I don't practice what I desire to do, but what I hate, that I do. From Romans chapter 7. Sin is like catchweed. It sticks to us. What kind of field will we be? What hinders our growth as God's people? And what might we change in order to be more productive in the growth of God's kingdom? In my honest moments, I recognize the qualities of the weeds in my life, qualities that I need to be free of before I can be truly fruitful. The most humbling thought is that weed-like qualities in me could sting someone else, could stifle someone else's growth. Surely communities of faith are where we are able to join with one another and acknowledge that we are both weed and wheat, trusting that it is God who sows and God who reaps. We are in God's keeping. It is God who allows growth even in the hard places, perhaps especially in the hard places. It is God who waits patiently for the right time to plant hope amidst the weeds and seeds of life, so we may better learn to scatter love wisely. To cultivate the field to God's glory and kingdom, we're also called to acknowledge that the good seed has been planted within us. Good seed that when tended grows tall and strong and flourishes, dwarfing the weeds. If it is true that we become what we think, then words that Paul has from us in Philippians chapter 4 are a great aid to healthy cultivation. He writes, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen."
Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike nor cares could destroy, be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all faith, whose strong hands were skilled at the plane and the lathe, be there at our labors and give us, we pray, your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of the day. Lord of all kindliness, Lord of all grace, your hands swift to welcome, your arms to embrace, be there at our homing and give us, we pray, your love in our hearts, Lord, at the eve of the day. Lord of all gentleness, Lord of all calm, whose voice is contentment, whose presence is pray. Your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day.
Dear Lord, we pray today for all those being adversely affected by coronavirus. We pray for those who are unwell, who are struggling to recover from illness, and those who have not been able to recover. We pray for all those who care for the unwell and all those who have lost loved ones. And especially we thank you for all those who have recovered and are now able to resume their lives. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, we pray for all those who have lost a positive self-image as a result of losing their jobs. Help us to support all those we know who need encouragement just now, those who are lonely, those who have financial worries, and those who cannot see the way ahead. And help us to allow others to give us support at times when we are in need of it. We thank you for the blessings of friendship and community, and we pray that we may always strive to bring people together, to counter loneliness, and to reach out to those who are in need of fellowship. Lord, graciously hear us. Almighty Father, please govern the hearts and minds of those in authority. Help those who have to make difficult decisions every day in government, and enable our leaders to work well together for the common good. Lord, graciously hear us. Heavenly Father, we pray for all refugees, that the desperate may find new hope, and lives and families torn apart be restored. And we hold before you those who are homeless. Draw near and comfort them in spirit, and bless those who work to provide them with shelter, food, and friendship. Lord, graciously hear us. Living God, we give thanks for all the good things that we have seen grow in the course of our lives, for difficult times which have helped us to understand the difficulties that other people face, for losses which have helped us to understand others better, for hard questions that have led us more deeply into the mystery of our faith. Lord, graciously hear us. We give thanks for farmers and fishing crews, for all who grow food and catch it, prepare it, transport it, market and sell it, so that we can have enough to eat, and help us never to take what they do for granted. We give thanks for those who sow seeds of faith, of hope, and of imagination, when those gifts are in short supply. May their work bear a rich harvest. We give thanks for those who cheer us by believing in us, for those who make us laugh and help us to smile at ourselves. And we give thanks for those who pray for us, especially when we have forgotten how to pray for ourselves. Lord, graciously hear us. Gracious God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ, charged with representing him in the world and with tending the fragile seeds of his kingdom. Help us not to be distracted by the weeds which may grow amongst the sprouting corn, but to focus on the fresh green shoots of new life. May we not choke that life with negative thoughts, but always nurture it with love and hope. Keep us faithful in our planting, our watering, and our waiting for the rich harvest that is your glory and your gift. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hear now these words of blessing. The sower, God spreads the seed in the fertile soil of creation. May God's Spirit feed you this week and beyond. May the earth be full of God's glory, and may all the earth know of God's love.